Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Capable drive here. He will be the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo could be the MVP. I couldn't believe what I was saying. And again, like, he was awesome for three quarters in that Super Bowl. But I honestly felt, sitting there watching the Minnesota game, watching the Green Bay game, seeing the plays that were dialed up, it felt like, to me, as just a fan sitting in the stands, damn, dude, this coach does not believe in this guy.
Which is crazy when you think about it. Think about how crazy that is when you saw the way the 2019 regular season developed. He had to trust Jimmy Garoppolo down the stretch. We talked about, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the nine-game gauntlet. He trusted Jimmy, and Jimmy delivered. So if that's on Shanahan, which is why people around here, they say, oh, Bonte, you don't like Shanahan. I just hold Shanahan in a high regard. Everybody says Shanahan is this great offensive mind. Why? Look, if you're going to flirt with Tom Brady in the offseason, why not just say, you know what, it's the Super Bowl. I need to trust Jimmy G. You know what he did down the stretch for me? Let's just keep it rolling. That's on Shanahan to not trust your quarterback.
But you're making trust like it's a 100% of the pie, right? Like, I think trust is constantly fading in and out and up. Like everybody's relationship, they've got more trust. They're in a good place. Sometimes they're in a bad place. Like, I don't think it'll ever be 100% full circle. Like,
but why
you get what I'm saying?
But why is it week to week? When you're 13-3 with home field advantage.
Because that's the stress of being a coach in the NFL when your livelihood is at stake, when Jimmy Garoppolo's career is at stake.
Shanahan's not getting fired?
I know, but he's trying to win. He's trying to win week to week, and I think that's the tug and pull.
Getting lots of hits on the text line. 888-957-9570. We're talking Jimmy and Kyle and the trust between them. 510 brings up a good point. You can trust a player and still recognize their strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly. There's nuance.
Good point. The 415 in San Francisco saying, Jimmy G's is the baby Huey of all NFL QBs. He's freaking 28 years old. How much more time does he need? That's ridiculous. The 619 is with you, Bonte, saying, hashtag let Jimmy marinate.
I like
it.
That.
Let's start the hashtag. But then the 925 is bringing up an interesting point, and I agree with you, 925. Didn't Bonte want to move on from Jimmy G last week after the Dolphins game?
Okay.
How can you now be all in and be an all Jimmy guy?
So,
thank you for paying attention.
Pivot, don't panic.
Thank you.
Pivot,
you're
don't
learning
panic.
The fundamentals.
I'm going to use it one
thank
time
you.
Here
thank
because
you.
The Miami game got to me. Kate, again, the naysayers, the tweets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to hear.
It's not real. It's okay.
Chesky, don't stop it with the tweets. Not serious. We saw how many times you tweet.
I mean, yeah, it's for fun.
No, you love Twitter so much that you got to ask me for the Wi-Fi password at Levi's Stadium.
Well, I want to be able to fire out that wow tweet in-game. I'm an in-game tweeter, B. I'm a high-volume in-game tweeter. Yeah. One thing I would say, though, like, this is not exclusive to just Jimmy Garoppolo. LeBron James, okay, is the greatest basketball player of this generation, without question. Mm-hmm. This guy gets ridiculed every single day on every single platform. And you could say it's absurd, but that's what we do in this society. I don't think it's fair. Like, I appreciate the greatness of someone like LeBron James, but he gets ripped. He can't win the big one. He's not clutch. Oh, he complains too much. He wants to be the GM. LeBron James, you don't think the Wolves aren't going to be out here for Jimmy Garoppolo at every single turn?
Like, that's fine.
Tom Brady, we've been talking about Tom Brady's demise for 10 years, and all the guy's done is go back to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl every single year. So, like, this is the reality of now, B. Like, I get what you're saying. Like, everybody should just trust him and have all this faith.
No, it's not
we
that.
We don't
no,
even
no,
trust
no, no,
Steph Curry. Steph Curry's the greatest warrior we've seen since Rick Barry. It's unbelievable.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But people caught up in the fantasy football era, they want 300 yards passing, three touchdowns.
That I agree with.
This guy throws
You're
the
right.
ball eight times. They run the ball down You're the right. Packers' throat. If people have the audacity to complain, oh, he only threw the ball eight times. Oh, my Lord. Why not keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline? That sounds like a great game plan to me. Keep 12 on the sideline and that Packers offense on the sideline. And let's just run the ball and run the clock. That's the best formula. That's the Parcells formula. That's the Belichick formula. Mm-hmm. That's what drives me crazy about Jimmy G. Everybody looks at fantasy football. Oh, he's only throwing for 200 yards and he's only throwing 6 yards. I don't care how you win a game.
Yeah, but says the guy who has five, six. How many fantasy teams do we find out that Bonte had yesterday?
Too many.
Seven.
But I don't get caught up in that. Like, I checked that last. That's at the end of the day saying, oh, wow, what did my fantasy team do? It's more for fun. That's my fun.
Well, I think it's situation to situation. And I look at situations in games and I look, like, for example, you guys brought up the 4th-and-2. That was unbelievable, Faith. Imagine that. Like, imagine us saying that 2 weeks ago. Kyle dropped back, or a week ago, he dropped back on 4th-and-2 in the most crucial drive to that point in the game, mm-hmm. and threw the ball to the middle of the field, yes, to their best player in George Kittle. Like, if he had zero faith in them, they're running that ball 100% of the time. Exactly. But instead, they went back and dropped back and threw the ball. Yes, some of the play calls make you lead to believe that Kyle doesn't fully trust Jimmy, but I don't think it's 0 to 100% of faith. I think that there's somewhere in between. There's many freeway ramps that we could pull off on this 280 freeway to go see where their trust level is. Right, Kate?
We've gone from baking to cooking. Now we're driving the car around the
Bay
Area. Yes, I totally agree.
We're the Batmobile,
if you
want to
get in on the conversation when it comes to trust, here we are again talking trust levels between Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line, or it's also the hotline, 888-957-9570. For a moment, though, let's do the two-minute drill, y'all. Get everybody caught up on what we got going on in the rest of the world of sports, and then Mikey Silver going to join us in just a few. In case you missed it last night, Chiefs 5-1, Bills 4-2, Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes getting the win in Buffalo, guys, 26-17. Bonte, what you got?
Man, the Cardinals, a Monday night under the bright lights at Jerry's World. They blow out the Cowboys 38-10. Kyler Murray undefeated in that stadium, won 3 state championships there, a Big 12 championship, and of course last night as the Cardinals improved to 4-2. Shasky, what you got for me?
Well, tonight is the World Series. You got Tampa Bay, you got the L.A. Dodgers, and where else would this game be played at? But Arlington in Texas. You got Kershaw versus Glasnow. Sign me up, beat L.A., and I do not like these Tampa Bay Giants memes that are going on. I'm
trash.
All out on that. It brings up horrible memories from 1992, but I am rooting for the Tampa Bay Rays.
I was going to say, aren't we all Rays fans at this point, right? We were all Nuggets fans in the postseason after they advanced to take on the Lakers. We're all Rays fans now, except for you random Dodgers fans here in the Bay Area. Hey, some more football news broke in just the last hour. The Dolphins are on the bye this week. They announced this morning that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be their guy when they come back. Talk about a great transition from Fitzmagic to Tua. Miami played that transition spot on, Vontae.
Yeah, I don't like it though, KT. Why move off of Fitz? Let Tua sit. That's where we talk about instant gratification. Patience. Why not have patience with their quarterback?
As one of the best backups now in the league. If Tua's not ready.
Tua time
down to Miami. Real quick on the Niners. Mostert out with the high ankle sprain. Ben Garland out with the calf strain. Both likely to go on injured reserve. Jaquaski Tartt will be reevaluated later this week with a groin injury. And Trent Williams, ankle sprain. Boy, the injuries just keep coming for the 49ers, KT.
Well, 2020, guys, 2020.
Last update. We're awesome, and we're going to have Mike Silver on shortly. You're going to want to hear it. NFL Network's own, a Cal Golden Bear. I mean, what more do you want to see? That's the update that you need today. Stay tuned. I am coming with the fire on Mike Silver.
95.7 The Game.
You mean the butter.
NFL
the
Insider.
Butter. Get the butter
the
out.
Butter, the butter, the fire.
Block me.
Shasky's bringing both with Bonte and Kate here on the Morning Roast. Mike Silver joining us in just a few. You're listening to the brand new morning show, The Morning Roast, right here on 95.7 The Game.
The Morning Roast continues with Bonte, Kate, and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Roast. Bonte, Joe, and Kate with you here on 95.7 The Game, and we are stoked to now be joined by our NFL insider here on 95.7 The Game and a longtime friend of mine. He's from the NFL Network these days. Mike Silver joining us on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Mike, I'm rocking my Pac-12 football shirt this morning. I think I might be one of the few people in the country who has this T-shirt. T-2 weeks, baby. until our Bears begin to track towards a Pac-12 North title. Look out, Oregon. Here come the Bears, Mike.
I love it, Kate. And, you know, I would normally say one at a time, you know, and really when there are only seven, you have no choice but to view it that way. So one at a time, Kate. Get that first one.
Oh, well, it is great to have you on today, Mike. 49ers, once again, just decimated by injuries. It feels like they lose another chunk of their starting lineup every season. Are we crazy? Are we too stuck in the now? Or is this season truly unlike any other when it comes to all teams at the injuries?
You know, I haven't seen the actual numbers on it. I mean, anecdotally, early on, it was a brutal hit. And then, you know, again, this weekend, just, you know, impact players you saw go down, like Devin Bush, Taylor Lewan, you know, guys who are going to leave a real hole in their teams. But, yeah, the Niners have been disproportionately hit. Obviously, Bosa is as big a game changer at that position as there is in the league. The defense is really, really, you know, not, you know, reminiscent personnel-wise of what we saw in the Super Bowl. And obviously they got exposed against the Dolphins pretty brutally, but got to give a lot of credit to Robert Saleh for patching it together and, you know, those players for putting forth that performance on Sunday night. That, you know, they really only had one rough day defensively. Otherwise, they've been pretty good.
You know, Mike, I'm hoping you and KT Scott can get me to a Rose Bowl of Pasadena. It'd be nice to see the Golden Bears once smell the roses for the first time in 60-plus years here.
Stop kissing. Stop kissing up. I mean, come on.
I'm just trying to get to a Rose Bowl.
Hell has not been to the Rose Bowl in my lifetime. I never think about that.
It's weird.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah,
that's all. I just want to see Cal. Stafford smelled the roses. I know you're a Stafford guy, Shaz.
Oh, man. Wow. You know, it's going to be a rough conversation.
I know.
I mean, is it that off? I mean, it's not like Cal's been any good in football. I mean, you guys are over here delusional. I mean, give me a break here. Come on. Seriously.
What you got, Bonte?
All right. Mike, look, with the unknowns of COVID-19 and the unknowns of the cap next year and what the draft will look like, how much action do you believe we'll see at the trading deadline, considering how many teams and contenders are injured, as you just mentioned? Devin Bush with the Steelers and Luan with the Titans, and we know about the Niners. How much action do you believe we'll see at the trading deadline?
Well, I think in general, you know, we're in an era where there's more action than, you know, there was a long, long kind of dead period in the NFL where teams were very trade averse. I think we have a newer wave of GMs. GMs get fired more quickly, so that may have something to do with it. But people who are going after it, I don't know if COVID makes much of a difference here. I just think, you know, right now the games are being played, which means the cap probably won't be too brutal in coming years. If all goes well, it's, you know, the cap will go down next year under the formula they negotiated. But I don't think it's going to be so appreciable that teams will shy away. You're not going to see a baseball-like effect where, we just got to shed salary and hope we're good in like 8 years or whatever. So, you know, it's an interesting question. And, you know, I would look to teams like, say, the Falcons, where they're essentially rebooting. And, you know, I don't know if that means Matt Ryan is out there, but certainly, you know, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, for example, I feel like I can go after it this year, and Julio Jones is sitting there. How do you not try to make a run at that? I know how. You're the Green Bay Packers. You're the most reactive, passive organization in football. And even though you have somehow a generational quarterback for the second time in a row, you know, why would you aggressively surround him with talent? The same quarterback who got robbed of his rightful Rose Bowl in 2004 mm-hmm. by a conspiring of forces that
Mac Brown,
including Mac Brown, mm-hmm. and also Kate didn't rile up the fans to riot levels.
Yep.
You know, we just
I still regret that.
we needed an actual riot. We probably needed some Antifa involvement in that respect.
You know, Mike, if memory serves, did they lose to Texas Tech in that bowl game that they're in? Well, I think it was the Holiday Bowl. Yeah. Johnny Mack, City College, San Francisco. Man, that was a...
When you're set to go to a Rose Bowl, right, Mike, and then all of a sudden you end up down in Petco in San Diego, like... It's hard to get up for that game.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way, Cal and Texas were the two teams being debated over that spot, even though the Rose Bowl wanted Cal. Texas lost to Oklahoma that year. Cal lost to SC, and then SC and Oklahoma played, and SC won by about 9,000 points. So, it was a rough day against Mike Leach and Texas Tech, but... That game should never have been played.
Yeah, it's all good. You golden bears. Oh, my gosh, insufferable. All right, let's get back to Jimmy Garoppolo, Nick Mullins, obviously the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. You wrote a couple years ago about the Nick Mullins situation, you know, backing up Jimmy Garoppolo and how much the Niners really liked Nick Mullins behind the scenes. Where do you think the Niners are at inside that building regarding Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, and the trust that those two have with each other, or lack thereof?
I think they're in a pretty good place. So what I said was, what I reported going into last season was that if Jimmy struggled and or they weren't winning, that they would not hesitate to go to Nick Mullins because of their high regard for him. And then obviously they won every game after I said that for like months, and Jimmy was pretty good. So it was a moot point. But, you know, that was then, and I think Jimmy's at a different place now. They've seen him really rise up in some big, big moments. You know, you think about that December game against the Rams when they had the 2 3rd and 16s that he converted to pull out that dramatic victory. You know, he played very, very well in the Super Bowl until, you know, the very end. He missed that last pass to Sanders. But, you know, I think people who – people maybe have a finer appreciation for Jimmy, outsiders, I mean, after seeing, you know, we saw some Mullins, we saw some CJ, there was some good, there was some bad, but, you know, Jimmy came back and really gave him a boost against the Rams. So, you know, in terms of throwing the football, just arm talent, he is unbelievably elite, like space age, scary. In terms of running Kyle's offense to a T the exact way he wants it run, it's been a work in progress, but I think it's trending upward. And in terms of temperament and, you know, being able to handle Kyle and the intensity and the tantrums and the exacting nature, and I don't mean tantrums like, you know, throw it a fit. I just mean expressing yourself very, very directly. You know, Jimmy's got the ultimate temperament for that. He does not freak out about it. He lets it bounce off him. The players vibe on that. So in some ways, I think he's actually the perfect quarterback for Kyle temperament-wise.
Tell us more about that, Mike, because that's one of the things that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, where Kyle and Jimmy are at when it comes to their trust and if they are a good fit. So tell us more why you think that Jimmy could actually be the perfect guy for Kyle.
It's hard when you're when you've got someone who wants things done a certain way, happens to be brilliant, and believes in his heart and from lots of experience that if it's done the way that he tells you to do it, it's going to be great. And, you know, I think if that person also is not subtle in expressing that, and you can feel that if you don't hear it, and we hear everyone hears everything this year, then it can rattle you. And, you know, meanwhile, you have 300 pounders coming at you and you've got to direct a huddle with 10 other people. And, you know, it happens really, really fast and it's a lot. So being able to be chill with that part of it and to just kind of let that bounce off you and just move on to the next play. And, and at the same time being tough and resilient, that's not a given. And Jimmy's like elite at that. And I think, you know, he is very, very popular in that locker room. And that's one of the reasons. He's also a great guy. But, the reason the George Kittles of the world, you know, the driving forces inside that locker room are Team Jimmy and so drawn to him is because they know he's very, very cool in those moments, and he's very, very able to not think of it in an egotistical manner. It's not, oh, no, I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm being attacked. It's the coach is upset because he wanted me to do this. Let's move on to the next play, and we'll try to do it that way next time. And, you know, it's worked out really, really well during many of his starts.
No, I totally agree with you, Mike. Looking at back at the deadline and some of the pass rushers, because, look, this Niners team, I don't think they can go deep into the playoffs without the pass rushers. You know, Armstead's out there. Kinlaw's a rookie. Kerry Hyder Jr. is playing at a high level. But, I mean, you can't expect to play 60 snaps per game. Obviously, missing Bosa and Dee Ford. Who knows when he's going to be back? That's going to take its toll. Looking at a pass rusher, not even via trade, but a guy like Clay Matthews, a situational pass rusher, does he have any interest in playing football in 2020? No, he worked out with the Broncos. Apparently, there was some mutual interest with the Broncos. I could be wrong there, Mike. Does Clay Matthews want to play football, and would he be a guy that the Niners could probably pluck and play on a snap count?
Well, I haven't talked to Clay this week, but I can tell you exactly what his mentality was late in the summer and going into the start of the season, because the Seahawks were talking to him, and you know, that would have been an interesting fit with Pete Carroll there. And then later the Broncos, after the Von Miller thing, got involved. This was Clay's thought. I would love to play football for what I perceive my value to be. I've got lots of money, and I believe that I'm worth $6 million a year at this stage of my career. If you also believe that, then I would love to play football for you. If you believe I'm worth the veteran minimum and a couple of incentives, then I don't want to play for you. So it wasn't, oh, no, Clay doesn't want to play football. He just was holding to his value. And I guess literally he's earned the right to do that because he doesn't believe he needs the money.
Wow, I'd love to be in that position, man.
I mean, no doubt.
Good for the Matthew family. What a great lineage. I want to ask about the Niners, though, because I've just – like, who are they? Are they the team that lost to the Miami Dolphins, like, in such an ugly fashion? Or are they more the team that we saw Sunday night that knocked off the Rams and just played such inspiring football?
You know, they're very, very, very well coached on both sides of the ball, all the way down to the position coaches. That's going to be top-notch. Their game plans will be good. They obviously will be motivated. I think in key moments, we saw that Sunday. And, you know, that's going to be at a very high level. They still have definitely some good, you know, very good players. And I think they can compete defensively and keep games, you know, to a winnable point defensively, even as they fight through these injuries. They're going to have to generate offense, enough offense, the way they did in the first half against the Rams would be ideal. They play in a brutally tough division. Maybe the best division I've seen in the NFL in many, many years. I mean, the NFC West is that good. It is the exact mirror opposite of the maybe mirror is the bad word there. They are the exact opposite of the NFC East, which is, you know, I put a joke on Twitter last night when the Cowboys were down 21-0 that this game's really going to shake up the NFC East standings. The joke, which, of course, many people didn't get, was that the Cowboys remain in first place at 2-4 and look atrocious. And the Eagles are going, yeah, well, good thing we got that tie against the Bengals because we're 1-4-1 and we're lurking. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a weekly challenge to figure out a way to compete, but you know, they've got the coaches to do it. They're obviously battle-tested, and they still have, you know, enough elite players like George Kittle that I think they'll give it a run. 7 of the 16 teams get in the playoffs this year. I think it's a realistic goal for them to make the playoffs, and hopefully by then they've gotten some people back and maybe can make a run.
2 weeks, Mike. Chase Garbers, Justin Wilcox, and the Bears taking on the Washington Huskies, whose number they've had since Wilcox took over.
Kate, well, I've been threatening to have a couple of friends and I in hazmat suits at the game. And, you know, so if you see a couple
storm the Memorial Stadium stairs.
suspicious figures, you know, lurking around.
I love it.
The day after Thanksgiving, then watch out.
I love it. And love to have you on, Mike, as always. Roll on, you Bears. And thanks for the time. Our NFL insider from the NFL Network here on 95.7 The Game, Mike Silver.
I guess he's right. He's good. Thanks, he's Mike.
Yeah, Al Davis, goodbye.
Yeah.
Deuces. Silver is out on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Visit Bay Area Chevrolet Dealers. com, Joe, to find a dealer in your area.
Yeah, I'm imagining him in, like, isn't his profile picture, who is it, Lady Gaga and him on the field? I'm imagining him now with you and him, Kate, I'm talking about you, in hazmat suits on Memorial Stadium, maybe on Tightwad Hill, you know, burning a doobie or something like that, just the two of you guys just hanging out.
Not going to say it hasn't happened before, not going to say it won't happen again.
Yeah, it sounds like your line's cutting out. Hey there, B, you know, these Cal Golden Bears, we're going to have that every single time, huh? We're going to have the insufferable Cal Golden Bear talk.
Well, I can't believe you're a Stanford fan.
Why wouldn't I be?
It all makes sense.
All hail Bill Walsh. Tommy Touchdown Vardell.
The environment from a Cal game to a Stanford game, if you're a cool kid like I think you are, you root for the Golden Bears. Now, no love lost with Stanford, Kirsten Maffrey, Andrew Luck, Richard Sherman. They've had some great, great players.
Jim Plunkett.
There at Stanford. Yeah, Jim Plunkett, of course. But
the old,
you know,
Indians.
Cal, I just want to see Cal in Pasadena. All that blue and gold at the Rose Bowl. You got to go down to the Rose Bowl, by the way. One of the best stadiums in the world.
I like how you shamelessly asked for tickets, too. Like you talk me being shameless and buttering up. You went right in and asked for tickets.
Who?
You did.
Who'd I ask tickets
to? For the Rose Bowl. You said that you wanted to be there with them.
No, I just said, just get us to a Rose Bowl. I'll get my own ticket. I don't need, hey, Shasky, Joe Shasky, what do you know about me? You know, I don't need any help getting into a stadium. We're fine. I just need the team to get there.
What did you think of what he was saying about how Jimmy is the perfect quarterback for Kyle Shanahan? Do you buy that on face value?
I want to buy it, but Shanahan hasn't bought it yet. That's the guy who needs to buy it, right?
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan needs to buy that. I believe, you know, we talked about the Pittsburgh game last year, and I was all fired up saying they got their franchise quarterback, this and that. I think for now, you're not going to find anything better for Jimmy Garoppolo. Don't tell me Kirk Cousins is better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's not. Any upcoming draft,
you're not going to be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. The BYU kid, maybe you get him in the mid-round, but there's not, in my opinion, going to be an upgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo next season. So I hope that Shanahan can finally view number 10 as his perfect quarterback. Stay away from the turnovers. Keep the team in third and short, second and short, and manage the football game. That's it.
I wish we would embrace more creative tension. I think we're always like, oh my God, so-and-so doesn't like this person, then they've got to go and they got to leave. And we're in this whole culture, this era of, you know, if you don't like the coach, well, then the coach has got to go. We always pick the players over the coach. And I guess to a lesser degree, that's kind of what happened with Harbaugh and Jed York and the players. I mean, a lot of the players were revolting against him, even though they had a ton of success. I don't know why we can't just have some tough times and grow together. Like, it's not going to be peachy keen, but can't we get in the foxhole and work together? Like, or aren't all of these missteps and these arguments, isn't this about how you get to be awesome? And then when you do end up hoisting that Lombardi, you know, maybe it's a year from now, 2 years from now, this year, who knows when, maybe never. But isn't that part of the journey?
Man, who is this Joe Shasky? Man, who is this guy? Who is this guy?
I'm calm, cool, collected, very nuanced. It's a new me. I mean, Kate is really growing on me. You know, she's left an imprint on my soul.
Wow. Kate, we can get Kate back in here in a second here. I tried to preach this gospel to Shasky all of 2019, and it just fell on deaf ears. All of a sudden, we're seven shows in, and this guy's like, let Jimmy grow with Shanahan. Let them grow together. Like, wow.
Maybe just a little different delivery, Bonte. Maybe just a slightly different tone. I don't know what it is. And the best part now is that on the video call, there's like a light.
Yeah.
It's like Joe has seen the light, and literally from the corner of the screen. Are you seeing this, Bonte? The sun has risen in San Francisco. It's over Joe's shoulder, and he's obviously feeling differently. I don't know what it was about how I delivered the information, Bonte, but that's where we are now when it comes to Jimmy and Kyle.
Well, when presented with unbelievable, undeniable opinions, you know, sometimes I can be swayed. I know there is not one voter in America who's undecided at this point on the election, for example, but like, my opinions can change, and I can go from left to right and right to left, or sometimes down the middle. I don't know why, just because you take an opinion today doesn't mean a week, 2 weeks from now, it doesn't change.
It's not that. It's not that, because if I change an opinion, I won't hear the end of it. I'm going to hear it for the next 5 months. Shasky flip-flopped
well, there's.
Every
I mean,
hour.
I think
this guy flip-flopped in 2 hours today about Raheem Mostert. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it just he did it so slick.
You made a compelling conversation, and you won me over. I mean, isn't that part of the talking conversations that we have is to try to win me over?
No.
Get
no,
in there, Kate.
It's about now flip-flopping. All right, I think we lost Kate again here.
Her face on the Zoom call, so sad right now.
She was talking into the headphones here with the Bluetooth, and she's yapping, and I just see her like, oh, man. Up there it is with the Pac-12 shirt. She's now looking into the phone. We're giving play-by-play of what Kate Scott looks like right now.
The 49ers right now, the way you look at them, are they a playoff team today?
Borderline playoff team.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think – how much better are they than Carolina right now?
I think they're better than Carolina.
I don't know. I don't know. Carolina's tough. How much better are they? Or are they better than the L.A. Rams? I know they just beat the L.A. Rams. But if you put the two teams on a neutral field –
they were on a neutral field. They were on a neutral field. There's nobody there.
Yeah, technically, I guess they are on a neutral field. You're right. I guess technically they are. I mean, I think the
49ers, can you hear me again, guys?
Because there we go.
Tuesday technological troubles continue. Say that 5 times fast. I think, as we learned in King of the Hill, and I think all of us agreed with, I know, right? Just flipping off things left and right, Joe. I think the 49ers are right there.
Yeah. And she's out.
And she gone.
I mean, we're on fire today. We are on fire. This is a comedy skit all to itself. But I get where she's going here. And what she's saying is that quarter to quarter, half to half, game to game, things are going to change dramatically for this team. Like Carolina. Okay, you brought them up as a reference point. Are you really worried about big, bad Teddy Bridgewater coming into Levi Stadium or having a home game and dismantling the 49ers defense like he's some swashbuckling quarterback that I should fear? He's a nice player. I don't fear him.
I don't fear him, but he's a nice player. Look, the only quarterbacks I fear are Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Aaron Rodgers.
You still fear Aaron Rodgers like that?
A little bit, okay. but they've had his number.
I agree.
I fear Aaron Rodgers if you don't. Like, this pass rush with Aaron Rodgers is going to be a problem.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's where I fear Aaron Rodgers.
And he brought up, Mike Silver brought up, who we just had on. I mean, he's going, oh, well, they might trade for Julio Jones. I'm like, uh-oh. I mean, you get Devontae Adams and Julio Jones with Lazard coming back, and then you have that running back trio that they've got going right now. Green Bay offensively could be a ridiculous problem, as you like to say, Bonte.
Yeah, no doubt. And getting back to what you brought up earlier in the show, because I am focused on the pass rush a little bit. We'll get to the offense, and we'll get to Belichick and the Patriots, and we'll get to Garoppolo and all that stuff. But the pass rush, where this trade market, and Mike Silver's right, it has become wild at the NFL trading deadline. Usually it was dead, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody even talked about it. You didn't even know when the date was. Recently, with all these GMs, as Mike said, people fearing for their jobs, mm-hmm. people fighting for their lives, the instant gratification era, people in win-now mode. Texans and Falcons are, you know what? I'm looking at those teams now very, very closely.
That's what I'm saying.
What's going to be the fire sale? What about Grady Jarrett in Atlanta?
I would love him.
What about him? Like, who the Falcons will put on the table? Or who the Texans
what about the Vikings?
Will put on the table?
What about the Vikings? I mean, they're in a weird spot right now. Like, they went all in financially on a lot of different guys. Like, their season has gone completely off the rails. Yep. Who knows what they're doing? I mean, how serious is the Jaquaski Tart injury? Because if that's a long injury, like, you drafted Tavarius Moore in the third round just 2 years ago. He hasn't really seen the field. I'm sure there's with reason that he hasn't really seen the field. Would you want to go after a guy like Jabril Peppers, who's reportedly being dangled by the New York Giants? Now, I don't really know what position Jabril Peppers is. I just know he's a playmaker. You know, he could play safety. Maybe he could play a little, small linebacker. I'm not really sure. But, like, to me, they have to shore up edge rusher. That is an area that they need to be targeting. And then if there's any team willing to give up a center or an interior offensive lineman, they got to be on the phone.
Alex Mack sounds great. 888-957-9570. If you're a 49er fan out there and you had to make one trade, what would that trade be? Who would you trade for? Would it be a defensive end? Would it be an offensive lineman? Would it be a corner? Would it be a safety? 888-957-9570. What would be your position in need, Joe Shasky?
Yeah, I would look for an edge rusher. And right now, I want someone who, if I trade for him this year, they're already locked up for next year. I want to have some team control here, because if I'm going to trade away a draft pick, I want to make sure that that guy's an impact player. And I'm doing it. Like, I know it costs money. I don't know where they're at salary cap wise. Could you find a way to move off of Kwon and get yourself J.J. Watt? Like, wow. They need linebackers. The Texans need linebackers. They're in a reset. They need draft picks. Would they take a couple of second-round picks for J.J. Watt?
You're willing to trade second-round picks?
I am. Because really? I really think he's going to be that good next year. Like, you need another guy. Clearly, you can't just rely on Bosa and Armstead. You need more.
No doubt.
Like, and they're going to move off D. Ford. They're going to move off this guy. They need someone who could stuff the run, who's got some versatility, who could play inside and a little outside. J.J. Watt fits a lot of what they're looking for. And he's a leader. He's in win-now mode. Like, how many playoff games has J.J. Watt gotten to actually play in?
Yeah, not many. I mean, not many at all. 888-957-9570 to Chilton on the Buddy text line. Niners from the 510 need to get Ronald Blair back. He's a nice pass rusher.
Situational guy. He's not a guy you plug and play for the whole game. Like, they need a plug and play kind of a guy. Yeah. Like, I like Givens. I like Hyder. Those are bench guys.
You can be picked at this point of the season.
It's true.
Give me a guy who can just get to the passer. From the 650, Jimmy G needs Julio Jones. What quarterback doesn't need Julio Jones? I agree with you, 650. Julio Jones would be everybody's dream. Everybody's dreaming from the 510. Yeah.
But
I think Kyler Murray,
depending on
Deshaun Watson.
Depending on how serious the Ben Garland injury is, like Weston Richburg, I mean, are we on the same page here? He's not coming back.
Yeah. I got to see the dead cap there, but it looks like, how can you?
Yeah,
week 12, he might be out of the playoff race by week 12.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and Ben Garland, who knows? I mean, he's a backup. You need to shore up that position. Bring in Alex Mack, see if he's got anything left, and let's roll from there. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I would love to acquire him. I mean, absolutely love it. And I know he's long in the tooth, but this is a guy who I think he sees his NFL career and the longevity starting to, you know, wane, if you will. So they need to bring in guys who are ready to win and contribute right now. They're in no position to be developing guys on the fly.
Yeah, no, I mean, from the 415 here, J.J. Watt would be awesome. Let's make that happen. Pick up the phone. And maybe the Texans are ready to sell their pieces and their franchise players. Say, you know what? We just need to reset it. Didn't work with J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt would be awesome.
Wouldn't
he would be awesome. He could play in the 4-3. I know he could.
Yeah, and wouldn't you, if you're the Texans here, you have no draft picks, right, Kate? Wouldn't you say, hey, guys, look, we're building around Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. We're going to strip this thing down around him, and we're going to do everything we can to put an infrastructure in place to allow this guy that we paid a couple $100 million for to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, you sound
almost
good.
Almost. Can you hear me now, guys?
Yeah.
After all the back and forth? Oh, my goodness. Apologies for the technological troubles Tuesday. But, yes, I'm so glad you brought up J.J. Watt. I know you've been talking about him for like an hour and a half now, but this is the first time I'm getting to weigh in on the conversation. But the 49ers aren't the only team that would love J.J. Watt,
no,
right? That's
no.
That's the thing.
No,
like, yeah, it would be amazing, and it seems like they're in a perfect negotiating stance for it because they have picks and because the Texans are going to strip things down if they're smart about things. But I mean, how many other teams would love to have a J.J. Watt on their squad and maybe have more to offer? So that's what it's going to come down to, and hopefully we can get into that in the next few days. But I'm also glad you brought up Alex Mack, because it was interesting what Mike said about the Falcons, right? Julio Jones maybe going to Green Bay? I mean, that would be something if the Green Bay front office would finally give Aaron Rodgers somebody to chuck the ball to. But if they're even contemplating getting rid of a Julio Jones, you would think that maybe they'd be able to get rid of an Alex Mack too.
No doubt. And would you, as a Niner fan, would you be willing to give up draft capital in a win-now situation?
Yes.
Like you think about the picks next year. You're already without a third-round pick. You don't have a third-round pick. Think about the cap where you're at. Think about all the players you have to shed money to and the unrestricted free agents that you have on this football team. There's a lot. Kendrick Bourne. Who else? Kyle Juszczyk. You got to fill in the backup quarterback situation. Mullins can walk. And I'm sure people are saying, yeah, go ahead, let Mullins walk. Let Beathard walk. Richard Sherman's a free agent. Tukwoski Tart's a free agent. You have a lot of free agents on this football team. So do you really want to give up draft capital for a player who may walk after next season?
Yeah, and this is why, B. Honestly, this is why. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the front office on the drafting. I mean, if we really look at where they're at right now, I mean, the 2017 and 2018 drafts, they whiffed. I mean, they whiffed. I brought up Tavarius Moore. He was a third-round pick. Has Tavarius Moore done anything for this team right now, Bonte?
No.
Okay?
Not really.
That's a third-round pick. Everyone's clamoring, you can't give up middle-round picks. They really, I mean, yes, Fred Warner's amazing. But the very next guy that you took ended up being someone that couldn't help you at all.
Is it on the personnel, though? Is it that on John Lynch?
It is. No, it is.
Picks because we see DK slip in the draft.
Yes.
It seems like the Cardinals and Niners pass up on DK, and I get it. The Niners have Deebo Samuel. He's been fine. But that's on the front office for me.
I agree. But
Dante Pettis in the second round, I get
exactly.
It.
Reuben Foster and Solly.
Yeah, exactly. That's on the front office where they've been put in this position. And now you got to make up ground. Think about all the holes they have to fix now from those first two drafts.
Well,
we still don't know about Mike McGlinchey.
Exactly.
And night, but we don't know if he's going to be
or
here
even Kinlaw, B. Like, exactly. I know you like Kinlaw, and I like him too. But aren't you seeing certain guys are going to develop quicker or slower than others? And you take Javon Kinlaw, there's a learning curve. I think a lot of 49er fans say, oh, he's just going to plug and play him. Oh, he's way cheaper than Buckner. There's a drop-off. Now, maybe one day, he's better than Buckner. Maybe. We'll see.
I
don't know. We will see. But there's a learning curve and there's a drop off initially. So as much as I love saying, yeah, draft this guy, take that guy, keep the first rounder, the second and third and some fourths, I kind of say, you know, like most of these draft picks don't turn into something special. Go get me the proven commodity. Now, the D Ford swing and miss, I mean, that was a whiff. There's no other way around it. That was a whiff. Emmanuel Sanders, the third and fourth, I'm okay with it. You ended up in the Super Bowl,
right,
and you were a couple plays away from winning it. I'm okay surrendering what could have, would have, should have been a Tavarius Moore type of a pick in the third round for Emmanuel Sanders of now.
Here on the text line here, Shasky, here on the text line from the 408, why the heck would you trade a high draft pick for an injury-prone defensive end on the downside? Go get someone like Ngakoue in Minnesota or someone similar.
But they just traded for him.
I know they did.
Yeah, and he costs a lot.
Somebody similar like him, and he does cost a lot. You can get a younger or better player for longer years after that.
I would take Ngakoue.
I'm kind of with the 408 in not trading a high draft pick for J.J. Watt. It has to be the fourth round or lower. I'm not giving up a three pick, a first or second or third round pick for J.J. Watt at this point of his career. If I could get him on the cheap, sure. If they could take back some money, sure.
But
I'm not doing that for J.J. Watt at this point.
The other part of this is that we're assuming Nick Bosa comes back and he's 100% next year. He might not. There might be, you know, not a setback, but there might be some sort of buildup for him. He might not come down hitting the ground running hard. I don't know, man. The way I'm looking at this 49er team, they're still in the mix right now, and I think that they need to be aggressive. Obviously, they want to be prudent, and they want to be smart with their long-term future. You want to have a future. You don't want to go all in for the now. You want to have something to look forward to. But they do need to bring in some reinforcements for the now, because who knows what this organization looks like a year, 2 years, 3 years from now. They might start off a season 0-5, and they're just out of it. You got to strike every year while the iron's hot. The NFL.
Yeah, let me ask Kate. Kate, do you believe this Niners team has...
Careful there, Bonte. I don't know if you want to ask this point.
I got to ask it, Kate. Oh, we got you. We may cut out 30 seconds later. Who knows? But I got to get your answer. Are you comfortable trading a first, second, or third round pick for a guy like J.J. Watt, who has been injury prone, who is on the downside of his career, who only has 1 year left? I can't do it, knowing how bad the depth is for this football team right now. I need the picks, and I need contract control of rookies over the next 3 to 4 years to build the depth of this football team again.
I'm there with you. I think a fourth round or below. Can you guys tell by your faces right now? But I'll make it quick then. I think a fourth round or below, but I'm really split because, as Joe said, do you think the 49ers can make the playoffs this year? Right? That's what it comes down to for me. And right now it looks like there's a possibility because of what the NFC has looked like this weekend, and this coming weekend is going to tell us a lot about the division because it is a win now. We just don't know how much longer they're going to have Jimmy and George and all the skill guys that look incredible this year, but 2 years from now they could be gone. So a part of me says no, I want to save the 1, 2, or 3 draft picks, go for a fourth round or lower. You've got the negotiating power, but if you can win now – and you got J.J. Watt. Man, if this team could get somebody putting any pressure on the opposing team's quarterback, that could really help the 49ers right now. B, what are you guys thinking?
Yeah, I got to keep these picks. I have to keep these picks. because I don't know if this team is ready to win now. I'm looking at the NFC West with the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and I'm looking at the rest of the conference. I don't know if they can win now, even if you do swing a trade for J.J. Watt. And then all of a sudden you fall short and you're without some picks. I don't know. I got to keep these picks. Now, there's interesting points on the text line, Kate and Shasky, where they don't have any trust in the front office making good picks with the first, second, or third round. That is a problem. If that's going to be a problem, then maybe you need to find another GM, but you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that because you just gave John Lynch an extension. So, I don't know. It's an interesting conversation to see what happens at the November 3rd trading deadline. What you got, Shasky?
I mean, it's an interesting conversation. I'm glad we're having it, Bonte. It's just these are the kind of things you and I like to kick around, you know? I know, Kate, this has been a disastrous show from a technical standpoint, but as far as the hilarity on my end, it's been an instant classic. I mean, ESPN will be broadcasting this particular show for eternity.
Oh,
Bonte, I think you got to take us on out of here. It sounds like Kate's just completely shot on her end.
Yeah, no, Kate, effort, will call you after the show. Put down the
You know what? Everyone go take a nap. Go for a run. Let it go.
Run a little bit.
This was the Miami Dolphin game for our show right here. We're going to throw it away. We're going to burn the tape. We're going to get back to it tomorrow, and we're going to focus on the New England Patriots, all right?
Man,
we're going to get into Jimmy G and Belichick. I promise you.
That's what we will do for Kate Scott, for Joe Shasky, to put your point for Bonte Hill. We just got destroyed 43-17. Hopefully, Steiny Dibs and Guru does it. They'll have Cam Ibbin at 11:30. DRK coming up later from 2 to 6. And, of course, JD and Covey from 7 to 10 right here on 95.7 The Game. That's it for us. Have a great day, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.